Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to John, 7th chapter, verses 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I was preaching a series of sermons on the invitations of Jesus as they are found in the four Gospels. And the first sermon in this series was pointed toward those who need rest. Jesus said those who are burdened down, those who are tired, those who are stressed, he invited them to come to him and they can find rest in him. Today's sermon is pointed toward those who are thirsty. Jesus invites those who are thirsty to come to him and to drink. Have you ever been so thirsty that you thought you might die? I doubt if any of us here have been in that position. But I remember watching a movie where several people were trying to get their way, make their way across a desert. And they didn't have any water. And they didn't know where they could find any water. And they stumbled and struggled, and their lips were parched. And they just didn't think they were going to make it. And finally, they came over a little ridge, and there was a little pool of water there. And they stumbled upon it, and they were so happy, they could hardly believe their eyes. And that little pool of water saved their lives. Because, as you know, we can go quite a while without food. We can maybe endure for quite some time, but not so without water. We must have water. The need for water is universal. Everybody needs it, but not everybody has easy access to it. Sometimes droughts will dry up the streams and the rivers, and that means people have to find some other source for their water to drink. Sometimes those sources are polluted, but they go ahead and drink it anyway because they have to have water. And then they get sick because the water is not fit to drink. It's not clean. I supported a particular minister for several years. And I remember watching as they went around doing that particular work, which was to dig wells in areas where people did not have access to water. And they would go into these areas and they would set up their well digging equipment and they would dig the wells and they would find the water and the water would be bubbling out and the people would be so happy because something they didn't have and they needed very much, they were able to find. We are very blessed in our country to have such easy access to fresh, clean water. Even though we're told that the water that we drink that comes out of the river, which is one of the most polluted rivers in the whole country, even though they have to treat it quite a bit for us to drink it, we're still very fortunate to have that access to that water. When Jesus called out to those who were thirsty, most everyone who heard him could relate to his invitation, and so can we. But Jesus had something more in mind than simply offering people water to drink, more than he had something else he was thinking about other than physical thirst. We can see by what he goes on to say in the passage that I read to you that he is talking about a different kind of thirst. It is the same kind of thirst that the psalmist talks about in the Psalm 42 and verse 2 when he says, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." We sang that song together earlier. My soul pants for you, O God, the living God. The psalmist is talking about a spiritual desire that he feels toward God. Talks about a need that every human being has, but not every human being recognizes it and acknowledges it. God made us, as some have said, with a God-sized hole in our lives. And there's nothing else that we can put in that place that will do. There was nothing that will satisfy that place. There's nothing that we can fill that with other than God, although people certainly try. Some try to fill that vacuum with many other things, but nothing else works. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in Him, in the Lord. We know that God made us to have a relationship with Him, such as He had with Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted us to be able to relate to Him in the same way. We were created to have a close, personal relationship with our Creator. But sin messed the whole arrangement up. But thanks be to God that Jesus made it possible for that relationship to be restored. The psalmist confessed that he needed God in his life. It was not as if he was saying, it sure would be nice if I had some sort of relationship with God. He was saying, in effect, my very life depends on whether or not I have a relationship with God. You know, many people say that they believe in God. In fact, probably most people in our country say that they believe in God in some way or another, some form or another. But the extent of their pursuit of following God or looking for God is about that way. It's just a matter of believing. I was watching a discussion on TV recently during which the people were talking about the question, why are so many people becoming atheists in our day? It seems like that's a trend. More and more people are saying they just don't believe in God. Why are they doing that? What is the cause of that? They were giving many different reasons why people were becoming more atheistic in their thinking or why they were not believing in God as people once did. But they also talked about something else that they called practical atheist. Practical atheism is simply someone who believes in God, believes in a possibility that there might be a God, but who doesn't do anything about it. And they say there's many people like that in our society today, in our culture. Well, the psalmist was not like that. It wasn't a matter of, I can take God or leave Him. It was a matter of, I must have God. I must have Him. No, for him, it was a crucial thing. It was a critical thing. He needed God in his life. He had to have God in his life out of a sense of desperation. I wonder how many of us here this morning can say that our souls thirst for God, for the living God. If we needed a drink of water so much that we felt like we are going to die if we didn't get it, well, that is the same attitude the psalmist was talking about concerning his need and his desire for God. Not just something that we can do or not do, but something that we must do. As I'm sure you are aware, there are a lot of thirsty people around, and they look for different ways to assuage their thirst, but nothing works. That is because, as I said before, we are made that way. God made us that way, to need Him in our lives, to desire Him in our lives. Nothing else will do. Only God will satisfy that deep desire for meaning in life and for something that is better and greater than anything that we can think up or come out with. The truth of the matter is that when we leave God out of the picture, nothing is ever going to work like it should. Let me say that again. When we leave God out of the picture, nothing is ever going to work like it should. That is true for individuals, for homes, for schools, and even countries. Did you know that it is even possible for churches to leave God out of the picture? And I believe we're seeing that happen today. It's not just a matter of saying, oh, yes, we want God to be a part of all that we do. That's not enough. That's not enough. More than that is seeking Him with our whole hearts. The Bible says that if we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find Him. It is also a matter of discovering, of trying to figure out, trying to find out, what is God's will? What does He want us to do? Both individually and together. What does He want us to do as a country? What does God's will, what is His will for us? And then going on and doing it. Well, Jesus invites all who are thirsty to come to Him and drink. I'm sure you remember that incident recorded in John's Gospel when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus was resting there while His disciples went into town to find food, and she came along to draw water from the well. And Jesus engaged her in a conversation, which surprised her because she was a Samaritan for one thing, and she was a woman for another thing. And that just didn't happen usually. But she began to talk to Jesus. He began to talk to her. And He was talking to her on one level, and she was talking back to Him on another level. She was thinking mainly about natural water. And He was offering her something different. He was offering her something so much more than she ever realized. Jesus told her that if she asked, He would give her living water. She didn't understand that. So Jesus told her, whoever drinks of this water, the natural water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She responded by saying, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Like every human being, this woman was seeking something to give her a sense of belonging and fulfillment in her life. She was looking for love, all in the wrong places, of course, and she was doing the wrong thing. But Jesus did not condemn her. Instead, He invited her to reach out and receive the gift of everlasting life. Well, if we go on and read the rest of the story, the way it ends up, the way the story ends, it seems that she went back into town and told all the others that she could see about what had happened to her and about Jesus and what she had found out and what she had met along that as she had gone to the well. And they came to Jesus and they asked Him to please stay on for 2 more days. And He did. Stayed in Samaria for 2 days. And while He was there, I have a feeling that many others came to believe in Jesus. All because of this woman's testimony of what she had to say. I heard someone say recently that Jesus was a barrier breaker and a bridge builder. And we see that happening all through the Gospels, of how Jesus reached out to people that others would not even touch, and how He brought healing, how He brought restoration, how He brought the love of God, how He brought new life to those people. I believe, and I'm sure you agree, that every human being has a thirst for something more. That every human being has a desire in their hearts for something real, something that they want in their hearts. But there's something else to be found in today's scripture that I want to talk about. Jesus said that whoever believes in him will not only have their spiritual needs met, but they will also become a source of living water for others. As Jesus put it, streams of living water will flow from within him. We are also told that Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit who had not been given. I find it interesting that Jesus talks about living water. As you all know, the Holy Spirit is a gift that we receive in our lives, into our lives, when we become Christians. He comes into our lives to be a helper, to be a comforter, an advocate, a counselor, and the exact meaning of the word, standby, one who stands by us, one who is with us to help us, to strengthen, empower, and enable us to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is the source of the new life we receive when we commit ourselves to following Jesus. It's also interesting to me that Jesus described a person in whose life the Holy Spirit dwells as a source of living water. Jesus said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Have you ever thought of your life in that way? Have you ever thought that you are a source of living water and that that living water flows from within you outwardly? I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to this place, my parents and others, a place that was called River Springs. I don't know why they called it that. I know why they called it springs, because there were several springs in that place. And you could see the water bubbling up, a pure, clear stream of water, sort of like what you'd see in maybe Colorado. And it was cold and it was refreshing. Well, Jesus is saying that the source of this living water is within us, his people. It's in you. It's in me. That water is within us, that living water, and it bubbles up, it streams forth, and it comes out of us, and it goes into other people's lives. Think of your life as a place where living water can be found. Remember that the source is not you, the source is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who provides the living water. He is the one who dwells within us. And just like a natural spring, he ministers life to us and through us. We need to constantly drink of that living water for our own sake. We simply cannot, we must not allow the spiritual life within us to dry up. Have you ever heard anybody talk about feeling dry, feeling like my spiritual life is as dry as a desert? We must not allow that to happen. The Holy Spirit doesn't want that to happen in us as well. And he is the source of that living water that will water us, that will refresh us, that will strengthen us. Jesus invites us to come to him and to drink of that living water. That is an initial step we take and a continuing process that we must continue on and on and on and on in our lives each and every day. We need to keep doing it for the rest of our lives. There's a song that I'm sure you've sung sometime that expresses this very well. And what it says to us is that we should never come to a place where we are not thirsty for the living water that the Holy Spirit provides for us. It says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. You know, as the Holy Spirit fills our cups with the living water, it makes us like what Jesus talked about in John 10:10 when he said that he came into this world to give life that is abundant and eternal. That is life that is full to overflowing. We want to have that life in us so much that when we go forth, other people will see it and they'll desire it. And we have the way and the means by which to share it with them. You, my friends, have the Holy Spirit within you if you're a Christian. And you are a source. You are filled with that living water. And you are a source of that living water to others who are thirsting and don't know where to find it. So let's just be present to them and open our lives to them and share with them that which Jesus has put within us, the living water of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for that hunger that we feel, because otherwise we would probably forget about you. We probably wouldn't feel a need for you in our lives. Thank you for that thirst that we have. And Father, we know that nothing will satisfy except the living water that only the Holy Spirit can provide. So Father, we ask you to fill us up with that water. Fill us up with that living water so that we will not only have enough for ourselves, but we will have enough to share. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.